We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
We interrupt this program to bring you an important Wayfair message. Wayfair's got style tips for every home. This is Nicole Byer, helping you make those rooms flyer. Today's style tip, when it comes to making a statement, treat bold patterns like neutrals. Go wild! Like an untamed animal print area rug under a rustic farmhouse table from Wayfair.com. Ooh, fierce! This has been your Wayfair style tip to keep those interiors superior.
Wayfair, every style, every home.
Welcome back to Blake Winchester Loves America the Most. Get ready for a journey into uncharted territory as Blake unveils his boldest experiment yet, founding his own micronation of freedom. What happens when one man takes liberty into his own hands? Spoiler alert, there's a cannon involved. Don't go anywhere. Blake is up next.
Patriots, there comes a time in every freedom-loving man's life when he looks around at the world and thinks, this isn't enough liberty for me. It's not that America isn't the greatest country on earth, because it is. But sometimes you've got to break free from the chains of bureaucracy and carve out a little slice of pure, unadulterated freedom for yourself. That's exactly what I set out to do when I decided to secede from my HOA and form my own independent nation. It all started with a letter. Well, several letters, to be exact. My HOA, the Liberty Pines Neighborhood Association, which, let me tell you, is the least liberty-minded group of people I've ever met, had been harassing me for weeks about what they called flagrant violations of neighborhood regulations. Their list of grievances was extensive. The 25-foot-tall American flagpole I installed in my front yard without permission. The cannon I mounted next to said flagpole, which I claimed was a historic replica but actually bought online for $200. My nightly patriotic fireworks displays, which, in my defense, only lasted until midnight. But the final straw came when they sent me a citation for erecting a non-compliant structure in my backyard. That structure, of course, was the life-size replica of the Liberty Bell I'd been constructing out of scrap metal and an old satellite dish. The citation was delivered by Sandra, the HOA president, a woman who I suspect has never felt the sweet kiss of freedom in her life. She showed up on my doorstep, clipboard in hand, with a face as sour as week-old lemonade. "Blake," she said, her voice dripping with disdain, "this is your final warning. If you don't remove that monstrosity from your backyard, we'll be forced to take legal action." I stared her down, my chest puffed with righteous indignation. "Sandra," I said, "that monstrosity is a symbol of liberty. And if you think I'm going to tear it down just because your bylaws don't include a freedom clause, you got another thing coming." She scoffed. "Freedom clause? That's not a thing." "It should be," I shot back. That's when the idea hit me. If the HOA didn't respect liberty, then maybe Liberty Pines wasn't the place for me. Maybe it was time to declare my independence and create a new nation, one where freedom reigned supreme. The very next morning, I got to work. First, I needed a name. It had to be bold, patriotic, and of course, centered around me. After hours of deliberation, I landed on Winchestervania, a name that combined my family legacy with the grandeur of old world sovereignty. Next, I drew up a flag. I wanted something that screamed liberty, but also reflected my personal flair. After several sketches, I settled on a design featuring a bald eagle holding a cannon in one talon and a slice of apple pie in the other, set against a background of red, white, and blue stripes. The anthem was trickier. At first, I tried writing original lyrics, But inspiration struck when I realized God bless the USA was already perfect. All I had to do was swap out USA for Winchestervania. With the basics in place, I set about creating the physical borders of my new nation. I built a makeshift wall around my property using old pallets, garden fencing, and a few spare sheets of corrugated metal I found in my garage. On the front gate, I mounted a sign that read, "You are now entering the sovereign nation of Winchestervania. Trespassers will be met with excessive patriotism." Of course, no nation is complete without a government. Naturally, I declared myself president, though I briefly considered calling myself Supreme Patriotic Commander. My best friend Dave was appointed vice president, largely because he owned a lawnmower and could keep the nation's infrastructure in good shape. For the cabinet, I turned to my dog, Liberty. She was named Secretary of Defense on account of her aggressive barking whenever the mailman approached. I also made honorary appointments to several of my favorite possessions, including my AR-15, Secretary of Firepower, and my grill, Secretary of State, because nothing brings people together like barbecue. By the end of the week, Winchestervania was fully operational. I held an official Independence Day ceremony in my driveway, complete with a speech, a ribbon cutting, and a ceremonial firing of the cannon. I even invited my neighbors, though most of them stayed behind their curtains, probably because Sandra had been spreading propaganda about me losing my mind. At first, life in Winchestervania was perfect. I spent my days tending to the Liberty Bell replica, holding press conferences on my porch, and drafting my own constitution, the first and only amendment, freedom is mandatory. Dave and I hosted regular cookouts, which we called National Unity Summits, and Liberty the dog patrolled the borders with a sense of duty I can only describe as inspiring. But trouble started brewing when the HOA refused to acknowledge my sovereignty. Sandra, ever the tyrant, began issuing fines for my so-called non-compliance. She claimed my wall violated zoning laws, my cannon was a safety hazard, and my anthem, blasted nightly from a set of speakers I installed on the roof, constituted a noise violation. I tried reasoning with her, explaining that Winchestervania operated under its own laws and was therefore exempt from HOA regulations. But she wouldn't budge. "Blake," she said, "you can't just declare independence and expect us to go along with it. That's not how neighborhoods work." "Sandra," I replied, "that's exactly how America started. And look how that turned out." Things escalated when Sandra called the county inspector, who showed up unannounced and tried to tear down my wall. Naturally, I responded with a diplomatic show of force. I fired the cannon. Not at him, of course, but in the air as a warning shot. Unfortunately, this only made things worse. The next day, I received a cease and desist order from the HOA's lawyer, along with a letter from the local sheriff's department asking me to please stop firing artillery within city limits. It was clear that my little nation was under siege, but I wasn't about to back down. Winchestervania would stand no matter the cost. Patriots, there comes a time in every revolutionary's life when they must face the tyranny of the so-called justice system. For me, that time came on a humid Tuesday morning, 6 weeks after I declared Winchestervania's independence. Despite my best efforts to defend my sovereign nation with diplomacy, backyard barbecues, and late-night cannon salutes, the HOA refused to back down. Sandra, the self-appointed dictator of Liberty Pines, had taken the ultimate step, dragging me into court. The summons arrived on my doorstep, hand-delivered by a very nervous process server who flinched every time Liberty barked. I opened the envelope to find a list of charges that read like a grocery list of unpatriotic grievances: unauthorized structures, zoning violations, noise disturbances, and, most offensively, failure to respect the HOA's bylaws. They were suing me for damages, legal fees, and the immediate dissolution of my micronation. Patriots, I knew this was no ordinary lawsuit. This was a full-blown attack on freedom itself, and I wasn't about to go down without a fight. On the morning of the trial, I arrived at the courthouse dressed in full presidential regalia, a navy blue suit, a red tie, and an American flag pin the size of a silver dollar. To complete the look, I carried a rolled-up copy of the Winchestervania Constitution, which I had hastily written the night before on the back of a Waffle House menu. My plan was simple: defend my nation with the same fiery passion that founded this great country. As I entered the courtroom, I couldn't help but notice the smug look on Sandra's face as she sat at the plaintiff's table, flanked by two lawyers in boring gray suits. They were the kind of people who probably ordered salad with no dressing and spent their weekends alphabetizing their recycling bins. Meanwhile, I stood alone, representing myself as both defendant and president of Winchestervania. The judge, a weary-looking woman who clearly wanted no part of this nonsense, banged her gavel and called the court to order. "Mr. Winchester," she said, already exasperated, "you are representing yourself?" "Not just myself, Your Honor," I replied, puffing out my chest. "I'm representing an entire nation, a nation that stands for liberty, justice, and the pursuit of independence from oppressive neighborhood bylaws." Sandra rolled her eyes so hard I thought they might pop out of her head. The trial began with Sandra's lawyers presenting their case, which essentially boiled down to, "Blake is an insane man who built a backyard fortress and won't stop firing a cannon." They showed photos of my wall, my cannon, and the Liberty Bell replica, all of which they described as eyesores and public safety hazards. One of them even claimed the nightly anthem broadcasts had caused his dog to develop anxiety. When it was my turn to speak, I rose from my chair, unrolled the Waffle House Constitution, and launched into what I can only describe as the greatest defense speech in the history of patriotism. "Your Honor," I began, "what we have here is not a simple dispute over property lines or noise complaints. What we have is a battle for the soul of America. Sandra and her HOA minions would have you believe that my cannon is a nuisance. But I ask you, was Paul Revere's midnight ride a nuisance? Was the Boston Tea Party a zoning violation? Were the Founding Fathers considered disturbing the peace when they declared independence?" The judge sighed. "Mr. Winchester, please stick to the charges at hand." "I am sticking to the charges, Your Honor," I said, pointing dramatically at Sandra. "The charge is tyranny. The charge is the oppression of a free and independent people. And the charge is a blatant disregard for the fundamental values that make this country great." At this point, Sandra's lawyers were frantically flipping through their notes, clearly unprepared for my level of rhetorical genius. I continued, pacing the courtroom like a man possessed. "Let me remind you, Your Honor, that America was founded on rebellion. If it weren't for a handful of brave souls willing to stand up to unjust rulers, we'd all be drinking tea and calling soccer football. Winchestervania is not a violation of HOA rules. It is a beacon of freedom, a sanctuary for those who refuse to bow to arbitrary regulations." By the time I finished, I was out of breath but filled with righteous energy. I looked at the judge, then at the jury, then at Sandra, whose face was redder than a 4th of July firecracker. "Your Honor," I said, "I rest my case." The courtroom was silent for a moment, and I allowed myself a brief moment of pride. But then Sandra's lead lawyer stood up, adjusted his tie, and delivered a rebuttal that was both infuriatingly logical and completely devoid of patriotism. Your Honor, he said, Mr. Winchester's rhetoric, while colorful, does not change the fact that he has flagrantly violated multiple HOA regulations and caused significant disruptions to his neighbors. This isn't about freedom. It's about one man's refusal to follow the rules everyone else abides by. The judge nodded, clearly more impressed by their argument than mine. I knew I had to do something drastic if I wanted to turn the tide. Your Honor, I interjected, if I may, I'd like to present a live demonstration to prove the cultural and historical value of Winchestervania's infrastructure. The judge hesitated. What kind of demonstration? A cannon demonstration, I said. Gasps filled the courtroom. Sandra's lawyers immediately objected, but the judge, perhaps out of sheer curiosity or exhaustion, allowed it. Fine, she said, but if you fire that thing anywhere near this courthouse, you're going straight to jail. With the help of Dave, who had hauled the cannon to the courthouse parking lot in the back of his pickup truck, I prepared for the demonstration. A small crowd gathered to watch, including a few courthouse employees and some passersby who were drawn in by the sheer absurdity of the situation. I stood next to the cannon, my hand on the rope, and addressed the crowd like a general rallying his troops. Ladies and gentlemen, I proclaimed, this cannon is not a weapon of war. It is a symbol of resistance, a testament to the courage of those who dare to dream of a better, freer world. And today, it will prove that Winchestervania is more than a backyard. It is a nation. With that, I lit the fuse. What happened next is still a blur. I had loaded the cannon with a blank charge, just enough to create a dramatic bang without firing any actual projectiles. But something went wrong. The cannon misfired, sending a plume of smoke and sparks into the air and knocking me flat on my back. Liberty the dog, who had been barking enthusiastically a moment earlier, let out a startled yelp and bolted into the crowd. When the smoke cleared, I found myself staring up at the judge, who had come outside to witness the demonstration. She looked down at me, her arms crossed, and said, Mr. Winchester, I think I've seen enough. Patriots, there comes a time in every revolutionary's life when the weight of tyranny feels too heavy to bear. And yet, through smoke, cannon misfires, and court orders, the fight for freedom persists. Standing in the courthouse parking lot after the now infamous cannon demonstration, I didn't feel defeated. No, I felt resolved. Winchestervania wasn't just a backyard nation anymore. It was an idea. And you can't destroy an idea, no matter how many cease and desist orders you send. When the judge issued her ruling, it was a blow. But not the knockout punch Sandra and her HOA cronies had hoped for. She ordered that Winchestervania's walls be torn down, the cannon removed, and my nightly anthem broadcasts discontinued. I was also on the hook for damages, a sum so steep that even selling my prized freedom truck wouldn't cover it. As I stood in the courtroom listening to her decision, I could see Sandra out of the corner of my eye, smirking with the kind of smug satisfaction that only someone who's never tasted real freedom can muster. But what Sandra didn't realize, what she couldn't understand, was that Winchestervania was bigger than bylaws. It was bigger than her or me. It was a movement. The shift began almost immediately after the trial. That very evening, I received a call from a local reporter who had caught wind of the courtroom spectacle. Her questions were skeptical at first. Do you really think you can run a nation out of your backyard? But as I recounted the ideals of Winchestervania, I could hear her tone change. By the end of the interview, she wasn't just interested, she was inspired. The article ran the next day under the headline, The Backyard Nation Fighting for Freedom. Meet Blake Winchester, America's boldest patriot. From there, the story spread like wildfire. News stations picked it up, turning my cannon demonstration into a viral sensation. Clips of me addressing the court, rolling out the Waffle House menu that served as Winchestervania's constitution, were replayed on evening broadcasts. Memes flooded social media. My favorite being one of me standing by the cannon with the caption, "Don't tread on this." I even got a call from a late night host who wanted me to appear on his show, though I declined, knowing his kind would only mock my patriotism. What I didn't expect, however, was the flood of support from people who understood exactly what I was fighting for. Emails poured in from across the country. Jerry from Kansas wrote about how his HOA fined him for painting his garage door red, white, and blue. Linda from Florida shared her tale of declaring her pool an independent maritime zone after her neighbors complained about her patriotic floaties. These weren't just fans. They were kindred spirits, people who, like me, refused to let arbitrary rules snuff out their love of liberty. It was Jerry who suggested we form an alliance, a coalition of backyard nations united in their defiance of HOA oppression. Thus, the Alliance of Backyard Nations, ABN, was born. What started as a small group of like-minded individuals quickly grew into a full-fledged movement. Members shared tips on building micronations, hosted virtual summits on Zoom, and even designed flags for each of their territories. One particularly ambitious member, Hank, from Montana, created a national anthem for the ABN, complete with lyrics about barbecue, bald eagles, and the right to light fireworks whenever you damn well please. The momentum from the ABN gave me the strength to fight back. With their support, I filed an appeal to overturn the judge's ruling. My argument was simple. Winchestervania wasn't just a backyard project. It was a cultural and historical experiment protected under the First Amendment. To strengthen my case, I began researching other micronations that had stood against the odds. The Principality of Sealand, a platform in the North Sea that declared independence in the 1960s, became my primary inspiration. If they could exist in international waters, surely I could operate in my own backyard. While waiting for the appeal to be heard, I turned to the ABN for advice on rebuilding. With their help, Winchestervania rose from the ashes, bigger and better than before. The walls, once made of pallets and garden fencing, were now reinforced with steel and adorned with murals depicting scenes from American history. The Liberty Bell replica, which had once been mocked as an oversized satellite dish, was upgraded with LED lights that illuminated the night sky. The cannon, now a symbol of resilience, was placed on a rotating platform that allowed it to face any potential threats, whether from the HOA or nosy neighbors. The relaunch of Winchestervania was nothing short of spectacular. I hosted a State of the Nation address in my backyard, streaming it live to thousands of viewers. Dressed in my finest presidential attire, a navy suit, red tie, and an American flag pin that could double as a paperweight, I outlined my plans for the future. I spoke of expanding our borders to include a national park, my garden, creating a postal service, a mailbox painted to look like a bald eagle, and pursuing recognition as an official U.S. territory. The audience, both online and in person, erupted into cheers when I concluded with the Winchestervania anthem, sung to the tune of God Bless the USA. The appeal hearing, when it finally arrived, was the culmination of months of preparation. By then, I had become something of a local celebrity. Crowds gathered outside the courthouse, waving Winchestervania flags and chanting slogans like, "Freedom has no borders," and "Let Blake be Blake." Sandra and her lawyers, visibly unnerved by the spectacle, tried to downplay the significance of the case, but their arguments fell flat. Inside the courtroom, I presented my case with the kind of passion that only a true patriot can muster. I began with a slideshow titled Great Moments in Secession History, highlighting examples of individuals and groups who had successfully declared independence. From the Founding Fathers to the Principality of Sealand, I made it clear that Winchestervania was part of a proud tradition of freedom fighters. When it came time for closing arguments, I pulled out all the stops. Your Honor, I said, my voice trembling with emotion, this isn't just about a backyard. It's about the American spirit. It's about the courage to stand up and say, I will not be ruled by arbitrary regulations. I will not bow to tyranny. I will not let my liberty bell be silenced. Winchestervania isn't just a place. It's an idea. And you can't kill an idea. The courtroom erupted into applause, despite the judge's efforts to maintain order. Even the bailiff, a stoic man who hadn't cracked a smile the entire trial, gave me a subtle nod of approval. In a stunning decision, the judge ruled partially in my favor. While some elements of Winchestervania were deemed non-compliant, such as the nightly anthem broadcasts, the court acknowledged the cultural and historical significance of my project. I was allowed to keep the walls, the Liberty Bell, and even the cannon, provided I agreed to use it only for ceremonial purposes. The ruling was a victory not just for me, but for the ABN and freedom lovers everywhere. News outlets across the country covered the story, dubbing it the Backyard Revolution. People began creating their own micronations, inspired by the resilience and creativity of Winchestervania. The movement grew beyond anything I could have imagined, proving that even the smallest nations can make a big impact. Today, Winchestervania stands as a testament to the enduring spirit of liberty. It's not just a backyard. It's a beacon of hope, a reminder that freedom is worth fighting for, no matter how absurd the odds. And as I sit here, writing these words from my presidential desk, which doubles as a picnic table, I can't help but smile at how far we've come. God bless Winchestervania. God bless the Alliance of Backyard Nations. And God bless America.
You've just witnessed the rise of Winchestervania, where backyard freedom knows no bounds. But what's next for Blake Winchester's Backyard Nation? Stay tuned, because the fight for liberty is far from over. Coming up, Blake brings freedom to the front lines with his most ambitious event yet, the Patriot Games, where lawnmowers become chariots of justice, fireworks light the path to glory, and cannonballs fly in the name of liberty. Don't go anywhere, this is going to be explosive.